Southern welcoming everyone out for our midweek service, and glad we have the opportunity to be here, and I hope that the things that we study about this evening, that they're beneficial and that they are in keeping with the truth of God's Word and that they aid us in our walk with Jesus Christ. A lot of people will, when thinking about Satan, will be of the mind that he has no concern for them, or they're not somebody that he might focus on. Now, and I'm going to tell you, he's not going to knock on your door, and he's not going to show up in the suit and the ears and the pitchfork, all that. It's not going to be some physical manifestation that he would come for you as, but he does have a wish for you. He has wishes for you. There's things that he desires for you. And as Jesus told Peter, he said that Satan desires you that he may sift you as wheat. So Satan does have desires and wishes for the people of this world. And I want to talk tonight about Satan's wish for you. So think about these things and understand that the devil does care about you. Now, he doesn't care about you in the way that he wants good for you, but he has desires for you. And there's things that he would like to see you be involved in, and there's a place that he would like to see you spend eternity, and none of them are good. He is at work. His influence is all around us in this world. If you're not aware of that, you're not paying attention very much, because his influence has run amok, and it's been there since the fall of man in the garden. And you can see how men, when they turn away from the truth of God's Word and they lean over to the influence of the devil and the teachings that he might have and things like that, how bad things can get. But to consider the idea for first of all, to dispel the idea that, well, Satan really doesn't care about me. He has no desires for me or anything else. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Paul wouldn't have written that to a group of people if they didn't need to be warned that the devil had desires and plans and things that he had put into motion in order to catch and grab people. You know, as I've said before, God doesn't warn you about something that's not going to happen. He doesn't try to give you advice and warn you about an upcoming event because it's not going to happen. It's because it's going to, or it could, if you keep going down a certain road. 1 Peter 5 and 8, a very famous verse about the devil, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So the devil is at work, and he does have his sights set on you and me and everybody else. He would like to cast that net far and wide and grab as many souls as he can and get them wrapped up into sin so that they would disobey God. And think about that. That's his definition of success, is to getting someone to disobey God. That's not a very lofty goal, as we might say. You know, it's certainly not something that sounds good, but that's his definition of success, is to get people to disobey God. So one of the wishes he would have for you is that he would keep you out of the church. You see, the devil doesn't want you in the church. Now, when I talk about the church, I'm not saying he's trying to keep you from coming to services, although he enjoys that as well. He would rather you not come to the services because you might hear the truth and change your life. But we're talking about the church, as in the body of Christ, the called out. He's going to do everything possible that he can to keep you out of the church and everybody else. Now, why is that? There's a couple of reasons why. We want to look at those. First thing we want to look at is the fact that the church contains the saved. You see, inside the church are found those who are saved from their sin and who enjoy salvation. And he hates those who are saved because that means more souls in obedience to God. Look at Acts 2 and 47. This is on the day of Pentecost, and many souls had been saved that day. And look what it says here. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord adds to the church those that are saved. And the saved are not found outside the church. They are found in the church. Why would Satan want you to be in the church? Because then you would be saved. He doesn't want that for you. He's not going to allow you to be added to that group of the saved if he can help it. Another thing to keep in mind is that the cleansing power of the blood of Christ is found in the church. That's where it's found. It's not found outside the church. And the church is his body, as we've said before, Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see, the church is the body of Christ, that collective group of the saved, those who have been washed in the blood of Christ and cleansed of their sin. That's what the church is. And he doesn't want you to be a part of that. The continual cleansing of the blood of the Jesus Christ is found in the church. There's that continual washing. Because when we're added to the church, we start walking a new way, we live a new way, we have a different set of priorities and thoughts and desires and goals and all those things. But you know, we do still occasionally mess up. But as long as we are set on that goal and continually progressing toward the goal of heaven, and according to the word of Christ, we do have that continual cleansing of the blood of Christ. 1 John 1 and 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Devil doesn't want you involved in a group, organization, or anything to where you could have the continual cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you there. And he knows what so many other people in this world and throughout time have failed to realize. And that is the fact, as we've stated before, that the cleansing power of the blood of Christ is not found outside the body of Christ. And that's really a hard concept for some people to grasp. But it's not real hard to understand if you'll just read the Bible and look at what God's Word says. Who did Paul write to when he wrote 1 Corinthians 6 and 11? He says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Who is it that he is talking about and says you are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified? Was that people outside the body of Christ? No. You see, this letter was written to the church at Corinth. It was the members of the body of Christ who gathered there at Corinth and worshiped there at Corinth. And they had that continual cleansing of the blood of Christ. He wrote to the church. And so Satan doesn't want you to be involved in the church. He doesn't want you to be a part of it. Another reason is that Jesus is the head of the church. Do you think that the devil would want you to be any part of an organization to where Jesus Christ was its head? Of course not. He wouldn't want that. He tried to stop Jesus from accomplishing the plan of God that he was set forth to do. He tempted him. He tried to get him off course and stop him from accomplishing his goal of dying on the cross, being obedient to the God. To God's plan and opening up the door of salvation for all of us. We go back to the fact of that he is the head, and the fact that the devil would not want you to be a part of an organization or a group where Jesus is the head. We read this earlier, but we'll read Ephesians 1:22 again. It says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If Jesus is the head of that collective group of the saved, the devil doesn't want you to be a part of it. Colossians 1 and 18 says, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He tried so hard to stop Jesus from accomplishing his goal. He goes to great lengths to make sure people don't take the steps to become members of the body of Christ, because he doesn't want them involved with that organization, because he knows the end too. See, we talk about the Bible a lot, and we talk about the story and how it all ends, and we have these sayings like, I know how the story ends on this one. Jesus wins. He's already won. You see, God wins in the end. You think the devil don't know that? He does. But he's going to try to take as many with him to hell for eternity that he can. And if he can keep people out of the church, out of contact of the blood of Christ, out of this group where Jesus is the head, then he will consider it a success. Do you think the devil wants Christ to have preeminence in anything? Christ came to do the will of his Father, God the Creator. Him being having the preeminence is not something that would be pleasing to Satan. And he, now, just because he doesn't want you to be a member of this body or the collective called the church doesn't mean he doesn't want you to be involved in other organizations. Because he will try to get you as busy as possible in any other body, in any other organization, in any other community, as long as it's not the church. Because that's where the salvation is found. Here's another reason he doesn't want you to be in the church. Members of the church, the activities of the church are such that the people there, those that are a part of that body, they live, they teach, and they preach the gospel. They spread the message of salvation to other people. He doesn't want that message spread. He doesn't want people spreading the message of how to achieve victory over death and the devil. He doesn't want that message getting out. And he certainly wouldn't want you to hear it. Why is that? Romans 1 and 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It is the power of God unto salvation. And what is salvation? Someone who has been saved and added to the church and had their sins cleansed and forgiven. The gospel saves. And he wants to keep as many as he can from being saved. Now, I will say this. He doesn't care what you teach. He doesn't care what you hear. And he doesn't care what anybody else teaches, just as long as it's not the gospel. In fact, he would probably be okay with a perverted form of the gospel. Some truth, but not all truth. See, that part would be pleasing to him. Look at Galatians 1 and verse 8 through 10. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel," there's a gospel that was taught, but what he's talking about is the possibility that someone would preach another gospel, a different form. He says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So see, the devil wouldn't mind you hearing or preaching and teaching a gospel or a form of the gospel, just make sure it's not the truth of the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what you have when you take something that is pure and you add something to it or you take something away from it? You've perverted it. It's not that anymore. Now, it may be similar. It may look like it. But it's not that anymore. It's impure. Okay, so let's say that he doesn't get this wish. You forge through and you've seen the devices and you've seen the truth and you go, I don't want to be a part of all that. I want to be a part of what the Lord has for me and that plan. Well, if he can't keep you from joining the church, he will do everything he can to get you out of the church and back into the world. You see, once we obey the gospel, our work is not done. We have to continue to put in the effort of serving and following the truth. And if he can't keep you out of it, he'll do everything he can to get you back into the world. You know, we're funny creatures. It takes years to develop habits. And what was it? You're talking about setting your ways, or one of y'all was talking about Sunday, about how we're setting our way. We get that way. And it sure gets comfortable to go back into some of those old habits sometimes, isn't it? People say, not me, I'll never forsake the church. I'll never leave my Lord. A lot of people have said that over time and walked right away from him. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Why did Demas leave him? How did the devil get Demas? Did he run up to him and grab him and force him and just drag him away? It's not what it says. It says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, we're called out of that world. We're called to live a new life and everything. And then we get to those points where we lose focus. And we start looking around and we start having these crazy thoughts. Like, I sure was comfortable doing that. Or we have these crazy thoughts like, well, look at those people. They're having all the fun. Ladies and gentlemen, the lifestyle of sin is not fun. It may be pleasurable for a season, but it is not fun. And it does not reward anything. And that's how he got Demas, having loved the present world. James 4 and 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. The word enmity there is very closely tied to the word enemy, but it has a little bit different aspect to it, in that it's when there's enmity with something, that means there's a barrier there. They're at odds and they can't be together. Like, you know, sometimes you've taken magnets and turned the poles around and try to put them together. You can't. I mean, it just, they shoot this way and that way. You can't do it. That's a crude way of explaining how friendship of the world is in consideration to God. Can't have a relationship. It doesn't work that way. Look at the parable of the sower. Just one part of it here in Luke 8 and 14. It says, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures in this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Bring no fruit to perfection. Why? Because they were choked. What were they choked with? Cares and riches and pleasures of this life. You know, I've read this passage so many times over the years, and my shallow mind automatically goes to money when I see riches and pleasures of this life. And I'm sure there's a lot of that in that verse. The idea of wealth overcoming someone. I'm not denying that. But think of the misguided thoughts of people when they think a lifestyle of unbridled letting go, giving over to all your lust, doing whatever you want, not being told what to do. That's a full, rich life. That's the way they look at that. And so I think there's some aspect of that which would go ahead and follow right along with the pleasures of this life. But look at what happens to someone who gets involved in those things. It says they're choked. You ever been choked pretty bad? Where you got something hung and can't grab a breath? That's what these things do to us. And Satan will love for us to get involved with those things and go back to walking in the worldly life that we were walking in before we obeyed the gospel. One thing about Satan is he's a very patient entity. He knows the temptation of the world is there. The temptation of the world is there not only when I walk out into it and head out for my day, but the temptation of the world is in my house too, through the different forms of media and the things that I bring in. You see, the temptation of the world is all around. And so he'll just keep turning up the heat. His influence is out there in the world, and it's just on you, and it's right in your face and everything, to where you start having those crazy thoughts again. That looks like fun. That looks enjoyable. That looks where that might be pleasurable. A little bit won't hurt. Well, I deserve it. I've earned it. We have all these thoughts that get us off track. Companionship with worldly people will pull you away. Now, you have to go out and be in the world. We understand that the Scripture teaches that. Don't mean you got to spend all your time with them, though. He'll keep us preoccupied with the business of the world if we're not careful. This is one thing I always think of when I think of us as men. I think we get really caught up in this one. And I'm not saying that the women don't sometimes, but I will just say on my part, from what I have seen in my life, I can get really caught up in the business of the world. And what I end up doing sometimes is I get involved in that and I hide from the other things that are weighing me down, or the other responsibilities I have, or things like that. And I get wrapped up into that. And I have to be very careful about that. And I've talked to other men who said the same thing. So we have to be mindful of that. There's a lot of business you can get involved in. And like I say, that's men and women both. I'm not trying to single one out, but the business of the world will keep you from the business of the church, which is sharing the gospel and serving God in the kingdom. He will throw false doctrine at you, just as we talked about a few minutes ago. He'll throw things at you that sound really close to the truth. So close that you start going, that kind of sounds pretty good. You know, I bet that's right. And then we forget to get back in the Bible and start making sure we're testing everything. Number three. Another wish he has for you. If he can't keep you out and he can't get you back out, one thing he'd like to do is at least make you worthless to the church. Make you where you have no value to your brothers and sisters in Christ. If he can get one of the branches to be unfruitful, he knows what the Lord will do with it, that he'll prune it and cast it away. John 15 and verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. The branch has to continually feed off the vine to get the nourishment that it needs. It has to. But what good is a branch that doesn't bear fruit? It's fit to be cast off. lazy Christians. We can become lazy in our service. And we can do a lot of great damage to the church. People think about the damage you do to the church as something that's an active type thing. You can do a lot of damage to the church just by being lazy in our service as well. Not only do they neglect the lost, but sometimes they damage the saved. Galatians 5 and verse 15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Sometimes Christians do the work of the devil for him, because we bite and consume and devour one another. And sadly, we make these wishes that he has for us easy. We make these goals that he has for us easy for him, because we do these types of things. And we become worthless in the church. Instead of building up, we're tearing down. Instead of reaching out to others, we're busy biting and consuming one another. And we have to guard against that and be mindful that we don't get involved with those types of things. James chapter 3 and verse 14 through 18. "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." We need to be peacemakers. We need to be the kind that lift each other up, care for each other, help carry burdens from those who are weighed down from things going on in their life. We don't need to have this envy and strife. We don't need to have that. So-and-so's getting more attention than me. So what? Get to work. Just work. Let's just do what we're supposed to. So-and-so's just better at this than me. Well, go find what you're good at and get busy doing that. We have to be careful that this envy and strife and everything doesn't build up within us, and then we go get involved with that consuming and biting and devouring one another. You know something? We talk about the influences of the devil in this world and the ways that he has influenced people and throughout society and time and the different things that he has accomplished. And as I said, he's not physically some manifestation that wraps you up and drags you where you don't want to go or anything like that. But you can certainly see his influence in the world. Here's something you need to remember, and I hope this gives you as much strength as anything else I say tonight. The devil has no power over you other than what you allow him to have. He has no power over you other than what you allow him to have. He doesn't make you do anything. All he does is lay out temptation and entice you. When we stay focused and when we are watchful for that influence that he has in this world, we can resist him through the power of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that there's no such temptation that we can't overcome if we choose to. God has given us the power to do that. Now, I can take that and beat myself up with it and say, okay, so that means every time I messed up, I should have done better. Well, yeah, light, ding, ding, let's go. Don't be negative with that. Find the positive in that and go, maybe I didn't choose right then, but the next time something comes up, I know God has given me the strength to overcome it. And so I'm going to be more prepared, and I'm going to be stronger, and I'm going to make better decisions. And if you feel like you're having that temptation and you're struggling or something like that, there's a room full of people here on Wednesday nights and on Sunday and Sunday nights that would love to be there with you and for you and talk you through it. We got cell phones. We can't hide from each other. We just have to lean on one another. But we can resist him through the power of Jesus Christ. Part of the power of Jesus Christ is in this body that we have. It is in the collective. It is in this group of brothers and sisters that we have. I had a guy tell me something the other day about an issue or something like that. And I mean, come out of left field, I was not prepared. And I thought, you know what? He's fighting battles just like I am. Let's help each other. James 4 and verse 7, I'm going to leave you with this. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The more you lean on God, the more you find your strength in him, the more you have his word hidden in your mind and in your heart, the less the devil is going to spend time on you. Because there's easier prey out there. Doesn't mean he won't come back someday, but understand that the more you hide yourself in the truth of the word of God and lean on him and go to him in prayer and spend time with your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, the less his temptation, the less influence he has on you. Leave the lesson with you tonight. I hope that something we've said strengthens you. I hope we are warned. I hope we are mindful that his influence is in this world and mindful that he would love nothing better than to get his claws in us. We just have to make sure we can't allow it. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been struggling with something. Like I said, you know, we all struggle. I mean, there's things that we deal with, and we have struggles with temptations and things like that. We have stressful points of our life. Lean on one another. Let's lean on each other, and let's talk to each other, and let each other know about this. Because, see, if you're having a problem and I don't know about it, I can't pray for you. You know, find someone, discuss this, and go to God in prayer. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel and haven't become a member of the body of Christ. Devil's got you right where he wants you. But just remember, he doesn't want you to be a member of the body of Christ. He doesn't want you to be saved. God does. And you know how we know that he does? He wants you to be saved so much that he sent his only son to die for you. He sent Jesus to die, and Jesus shed the perfect blood on the cross just so you might have a chance. And if you have not obeyed that gospel, we would urge you to do that tonight. If we can help one of either class, we'd ask you to come and take a seat on the front pew while we stand and while we sing.